Celtic Cruise, Dundee Demolition, and Queen's Park reign supreme. All this and more coming on Scottish Football Covered with me, Finlay Brown. With us tonight, and you'll have to forgive me for these, but they are based on recent quiz performances. We have Mystic Mac Kelly and Ailing Archie Montan Black. Mac, you must be spending this Sunday afternoon soaking it all in. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right, Finlay. And I have to say, I'm not paying Finlay to give me these compliments. That's 2 weeks in a row, but he's not on my payroll, not at all.
Well deserved, absolutely deserved. Archie, I'm sorry about the nickname, but hopefully I will have the chance to maybe call you the all-seeing Archie Montan Black, but for now I think we'll have to go with Ailing. But in the meantime, how are you?
Well, I think no, it's a fair name, but yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks very much, Finlay, for asking. It's been a good weekend of sport, definitely. So hopefully we can turn it around and I can end the night with a smile on my face, though not looking great at the moment, unfortunately.
No, I hope so too. And I mean, I'm going to be honest, before we started, I thought this was going to be a fairly straightforward afternoon. I'd had it in my head that I would be asking if, given the lack of upsets, were fans being shortchanged by this round of the Scottish Cup? Well, I think it's fair to say that I've torn that script up. Rangers were absolutely stunned in what is arguably the biggest upset this competition has seen in a very, very long time. They were beaten 1-0 by Queen's Park just a few hours ago. Now, let's start, Archie, with you by heaping praise onto those who deserve it, and that is with Queen's Park.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think any article or paper that was talking about this game would have described it as all right on paper for a Rangers win, but it's definitely one of those better cup sets that we've had in some time, especially to get Rangers done at Ibrox. But I think that I saw somewhere that it's been nearly a century since Queen's Park had been in the last eight of the Cup. So for it to have come against Rangers is massive for them, but it's the best time you could draw them in a competition, really. Inconsistency has been the word of the season for them. But they did something that neither Celtic or Tottenham could do, and that was winning at Ibrox for this season. So, no, massive credit to them, 100%.
No, an absolutely stunning result, and managed by Callum Davidson, for those of you who remember, a double cup winner in 2021 with St. Johnstone. Well, he's pulled another almighty result out of the bag here. Mac, what can you tell me? The performance of Callum Ferry, I mean, he made his debut against Rangers back in 2018 for Dundee and took a 4-0 clobbering. But that performance, I mean, revenge to say the least, and more.
It's a performance we'll be speaking about for ages. We've touched on how big a shock it is. It could be the biggest Scottish Cup shock of all time. I think it's probably only second to Davo against Aberdeen just because of the gap between the two. But Archie mentioned there how many teams, the stature of teams that have went to Ibrox this season and not won, Celtic and Tottenham. I don't think MD, not even Callum Davidson realistically expected Queen's Park to win today. So it's now, and it all came for Callum Ferry. He was terrific, penalty save, which is the cherry on top.
Now, just, you know, off the kind of top of your head, we know experts here, maybe self-proclaimed, but should Tavernier do better with that penalty, or is this all Ferry?
I think it's all Ferry. I think Tavernier's really good at penalties. I think Ferry mentioned in the post-match interview how good Tavernier is by mixing it up. It's hard to study for a goalkeeper, but Ferry is just, he's just on his line by the tip of his heel, and then it's a brilliant save. I don't think Tavernier could have done much more.
No, and you might be right about that. But Mac, could the Rangers defence have done a little bit more about the Queen's Park goal? I know Dush took a, you know, quite an accurate shot there, but was there a feeling that Jeffty was left for dead when he shouldn't have been?
No, absolutely. I think Jeffty's got to do a lot better. I can't pronounce the guy who scored. That's terrible. But I thought he should have laid it off. To be honest, I think Jeffty's been done too easily. And this is a guy who was linked to Chelsea in January. I don't know how much truth was in that. He's got to do a lot better. But taking that away for a finish in the moment for Queen's Park.
No, and that's absolutely true. And you know, Queen's Park are thoroughly deserving of their place in the next round. They're just off the playoff places in the championship, but I think for all the form in the world, I don't think we would have expected even a Premiership side to get that result. But you know, credit where credit is due. But Archie, now we've got the carcass in front of us. Time to pick the meat off the bones. Rangers, how poor was that?
Yeah, no, it was just no imagination or creativity throughout so much of that game. I mean, Clermont's going to have a massive target on his head now and going to be under immense pressure after that exit. I think, you know, domestic silverware's obviously all the hopes are dashed for that. He's really only hanging on to the Europa League, the campaign there. But I think given the magnitude of this upset and maybe the expectations that were of course on Rangers, the board are certainly going to be contemplating his future there. Of course, you could hear the fans after that full-time whistle was gone, they were practically hounding them off the pitch. So it's going to be a really crucial few next weeks to see what happens with Clermont's position, definitely.
No, definitely. He mentioned after the game that he wasn't resigning, but given the kind of panic halfway through, we saw a few changes. And actually, would you say there was an element of complacency even with the kind of changes made to the starting lineup?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's kind of I think it's quite hard to ignore that there was maybe that bit of complacency in his selection process. Perhaps there was an underestimation of Queen's Park, maybe leading to the tactic choice or the selection process. But I think you know, this kind of result should just kind of serve as a stark reminder for Clermont's side, but also going forward in the Scottish Cup, that no team can be taken lightly now. I mean, it's massive next games, of course, in this competition. Everybody's going to be eyeing up that silverware. No opponent can be taken lightly. But yeah, I think ultimately it just adds on to what's been a really horrific day for them with this match. So yeah, they've definitely paid the price for it.
Now, Mike, you mentioned Jeffrey. I remember just last month, rumors were swirling, like you mentioned, about Premier League clubs sniffing around himself and Eggemann. And I thought maybe there was some truth to people looking at Eggemann. And I always had my doubts about maybe the talk about Jeffrey was more to do with his agent, maybe propping up his value there. I mean, on the back of tonight and what you've seen overall this season, do you think he's anywhere near the Premier League? Or even let's maybe talk about, is he even one of the better kind of defenders in the league at the moment?
No, I think you're right in what you're saying. It might have been drummed up by his agent. I don't really think he's up to that standard at all. I'm not going to sit here and say I've watched every Rangers game this season, but from what I have seen, given the benefit of the doubt at the start of the season, he just came from Brazil. But recently, I think he had a few good performances in Europe, but there's a space to be had in that Rangers team at left back, and I think Yilmaz is probably who Rangers fans would like to see first. I know Yilmaz has been playing a bit higher up recently, firstly due to injuries, but he's kind of kept that since. But yeah, for me, Jeffrey's not done enough, not at all.
Now, in a kind of hypothetical world, Archie, if you're a Rangers supporter and you know, if you're seeing those players at full time, if you somehow manage to, you know, finesse your way into that changing room, what are you saying to them? What is it that you want from them from this point onwards till the end of the season?
I think all eyes just go on Europa League now, don't they? I mean, you like to think that they're going to finish high up in the Premiership, of course. You want to think that maybe they'll find that consistency somewhere else in the latter half of the season. But I mean, Clermont said it after this game. The fans, you know, they've got every right to be angry now, and as they should be. I think there's got to be a real repeal against this kind of football that Rangers are playing at the moment, and the fans will know better than anybody. You know, the potential that they've got maybe to make a decent run in Europa League. Of course, we saw in the League Cup final they brought a really good game to Celtic a few weeks ago. So you only hope that maybe they're going to continue sort of a good form as we go on in the season. If not in the Premiership, then hopefully the Europa League. But yeah, I think the club needs to take a really good look at themselves and yeah, see how they can better the situation for the fans, definitely.
Now, Archie, you mentioned the Europa League there. Do we feel that, you know, Clement's job is obviously hanging by a thread, but is Europe maybe that very fine thread that he's holding on to at the moment? Is that the reason he's still in the job?
I think it has to be the only reason, surely. I think, fans might feel that if he was to go now ahead of the knockout campaign, it could be, really disastrous for a new manager to try and get that relationship with the players or maybe try and get the results. But I suppose they have got that bit of time, of course, to rest players or hopefully, improve on results ahead of knockout games around early March. So, I think these are going to be really crucial weeks for the board, I suppose, and also the fans to see how well Clement can do under this sort of pressure now, because the pressure's only going to keep building as the season goes on. But yeah, it is a very fine line that he's skating, hanging on to Europa League, especially with some of the more prospect teams that are looking at taking home that title. But yeah, it's just a waiting game, I suppose, and see how he does in these up and coming fixtures.
Well, whilst there was joy for Queen's Park, there was also dismal defeat for fellow Championship side Raith Rovers under the management of Barry Robson. They fell 5-0 to Celtic, courtesy of a Maeda hat trick, McGowan and Yang Hyun Jun all scoring. Mac, did we expect anything different from this result? I know there's been the massive upset at Ibrox, but Celtic just too good this season, surely.
I don't think anyone would have expected Rafe to come to Celtic Park and get a result, and quite right with the form Celtic are in. I didn't think it would be as convincing as it was when the team came out. It was obviously, it was a debut for Sinisalo. There was a back four who had never played together, but Daiza Maeda just looks like a guy reborn this season. And then that is his first game starting as a centre forward, I think, since the start of the season. So he was in frightening form, and I mean, he's in this form. Not many teams in the country can lay a glove on him, never mind a team in the league below.
Well, you've been keeping a keen eye on Celtic these past few years. Would you say this is Maeda's best season to date?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when he first came, he showed glimpses of what he can do, and there was a bit of frustration because he lacked a bit of composure. Last season, he was really good, but this season, he's just came in leaps and bounds. He's added that composure to his game. Exhibit A being the opening goal. It wasn't that instinctive finish that we used to. Took a touch and he sorted in with his left foot. So for me, he's the best. I think he's something like 21 goals this season already, which is not quite half, but it's about 40% of his total goal tally for Celtic.
No, these are incredible numbers. Archie, Yang Hyun-jun not had maybe the brightest season so far, always been on the periphery of the squad and maybe failing to make that kind of impact that the likes of Luke McGowan have from the bench, but put in a fantastic shift tonight. What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, to be honest, I wasn't sure if we'd see this kind of performance from him just yet, but really fair play to him. He took his chance. I mean, we've seen flashes of his ability in previous games, but I think this was the really first time that he looked like he maybe belonged in that starting 11. He was just so direct, and you can see the confidence growing as the game went on. I think the challenge for him now is just going to be managing that consistency. You know, one great game in the cup is brilliant, but you know. No disrespect to Raith Rovers, it is only Raith Rovers. So, can he do it week in, week out, or can he do it in Europa? I think that's going to be the next big step for him. But if this performance is anything to go by, I think, you know, Celtic fans can be really excited about what he's got to offer.
Well, I'm sure lots taken from the legion of Raith Rovers friends who listen weekly. But maybe, Archie, were you left a little bit disappointed by their approach to this game? I know, you know, we'll go on and beat the drum to death of Queen's Park as we should. They really kind of took the game to Rangers. Raith, not so much.
Yeah, and it's interesting because their manager said that the boys had given everything in that game, that he couldn't ask for any more from them. But you know, you're walking out of a 5-0 loss, and you're thinking maybe, are we watching the same kind of game? Like, no disrespect, of course, but I think you know they had gone in 1-0 at half time in that game, so. I think it made it difficult more that they had a debut goalkeeper. Of course, you know, But I come back to that 1-0 deficit at half time, maybe thinking, okay, maybe we can just full throttle. Maybe the second half we can try and hold them out, lock up the park, and maybe bring something in that second half. But unfortunately, as the goals just kept coming, it was just slipping away from them. But we weren't watching the same game as what the manager was watching, but obviously he's seen something to be impressed by from his players. But he did make a very good point that all they can do is learn from this game. They've had now experience of playing against some top quality players, a really top quality side with really good rotation. And yeah, I think they just have to take it on the chin and try and pursue their run in their respective league.
Mac, I wanted to ask, there are a couple of new faces for Rangers, sorry, Celtic in this lineup, none other than Jeffrey Schlupp, who'd worked with Brendan Rodgers before. What did you make of him on his debut?
He came in, he looked composed. Wasn't sure how he was going to fare at left back because I thought he was a left back. I've not paid much of attention to his career probably since he won the league with Leicester. I thought he was a left back, but when you actually look in Transfermarkt, he's played most of his time at Crystal Palace, centre mid left wing. So, and then as I mentioned earlier, that defence, Dave Murray, Liam Scales, Anthony Ralston, the other wing, they've played with each other before. They three, Jeffrey Schlupp's also never played with any of them. So he came in, he looked just as good as Greg Taylor, but well, maybe not as good as Greg Taylor, but he definitely done himself proud, put it that way.
No, absolutely. And Celtic cruise into the next round. And there was defeat for another championship side. They didn't really kind of help themselves here, but Airdrieonians went down 4-0 as they travelled to Dundee. Robertson, a Lyle Cameron double, and a goal from Adewumi put Dundee through. Now, after a couple of 6-0 wallopings, Archie, how much did Dundee need this result?
Yeah, I mean, I personally didn't see this game, but I think Dundee ultimately really needed this win, not just for the cup progression, but also for their morale. I think when you're on the back of back-to-back 6-0 defeats, the pressure mounts really quickly, heads maybe drop. But this result was a really good reminder of what they're capable of. It's a good reset for the team, and they can hopefully use this as a springboard to build some more momentum. If they had slipped up again, the mood around the club would have been very different. But we haven't seen quite the cups set as we did over at Ibrox. So yeah, Dundee will be really happy with that result regardless. They're into the next round. That's all that matters.
No, absolutely no repeat of the kind of magic at Ibrox. But Rangers will be hoping to take some of that stardust from Dundee. And when they get Lyle Cameron in the summer, his two goals helped see them through to the next round. But Mac, what a player Rangers are getting in just a few months.
Yeah, you're right. He was nominated for the SPFA Young Player of the Year last season. I don't think it's more the conversation what a player Rangers are getting. I think it's more how good a player are Dundee keeping for this 6 months because we've seen how their fortunes have changed since Luke McCowan left on deadline day. They never had the time for the replacement. If they lost Lyle Cameron on deadline day, they wouldn't have had time for the replacement. Going back even further a couple of years, Glenn Kamara, he left on deadline day after a pre-contract agreement with Rangers for was like measly £50,000. I don't think that sort of money is worth it for Lyle Cameron. You're better off just getting him for the 6 months and he should pay his paid dividends today. Who knows how different that tie would have been if he was a Rangers player currently.
No, and that's an absolutely fair point. And we were speaking to him after the game yesterday. And I think what was clear to both the media and Tony Docherty was that his commitment has never wavered. And I think we expect the next few months to be, if not the same kind of statistical output, but at least the same commitment. Airdrie, meanwhile, I mean, they play under Rhys McCabe. They tried to play what some would call more expansive football. And this is a point I wanted to ask, Mac. Should some managers kind of bend to the force of Scottish football, maybe be a bit more pragmatic, or should we be encouraging, as a kind of ecosystem, managers to be more adventurous and really stick to their guns?
Just kind of goes back to the conversation we've had the last couple of weeks. I mean, we'll talk about Vlachary, who we'll get into more later on in the show, but I think they've got to be. I'm glad that he's became sticking to his principles. I know, but it just kind of goes back to the conversation we've had the last couple of weeks. I mean, we'll talk about Valakari, who we'll get into more later in the show. But I think they've got to be. I'm glad that he's became sticking to his principles. I know, but I think it's just a case of a bit inexperience as a manager. I think he's got to dive it away from a wee bit to get results because Airdrie. We talk about St Johnstone being almost relegated from the Premiership. I think Airdrie have been relegated from the Championship since about October. It's just the results just only getting for them, and it's the manner the way they're losing. They're losing by 5 or 6 goals. I know it was only 4-0 against Dundee, but they're on the receiving end of quite a lot of thumping. So I think Rhys McCabe personally, he's got to deliver from his principles and just get a solution that works for his team currently. Which is strange though, because they were really good. They didn't get the playoff spot last year, so. I don't know how what's changed this season, but whatever it is, it just doesn't happen for them.
Well, here's to hoping they find that solution. Now, we travel much further north, and it was in Aberdeen who demolished Dunfermline 3-0. That was Papagay's first goal since his return from a lengthy layoff and a debut goal for Jensen, with Nisbet grabbing a rare goal this season. Elgin, now Dunfermline. Archie, have Aberdeen maybe had a kind of rub of the green with the draw?
Yeah, I mean, look, you can only beat what's in front of you. I know that's kind of stone-faced to say, but Aberdeen have definitely had a bit of luck with the draw so far. No disrespect to Clyde and Dunfermline, but neither of those ties were exactly the toughest tests. I think they've avoided the big hitters so far, and maybe that's helped them get through to this stage without it being too much of a drama. But that being said, you still have to go out and do the job. And in cup football, as we've seen this weekend, anything can happen. I think the real test will come if they get drawn against one of the more favourable sides in the next round. So then you're maybe going to start thinking after that, if they can beat one of those better sides, maybe they've got a really good shot at possibly saving a season that at the moment is in a bit of a despair. But yeah, I suppose just wait and see what happens with the outcome of the draw.
Would you see them using this result as a springboard to move on to greater things in the league? It's been a torrid time for them since they made that blistering start to the season. Do you think this, we thought maybe the Elgin victory would do it, but maybe second time's the charm here?
I want to say yes, but I don't think I'm totally convinced yet. I mean, a 3-0 win in a cup is nice, but let's not forget, what is it, 14, 15 league games now that there's loss in, and I think it's 2 wins in 16 in all competitions. I think it's an absolute disaster, really. I know it's only stat padding, but ultimately you do have to look at the stats with the situation Aberdeen are in at the moment. But this win should give them some momentum, and getting goals from different players is always a good sign, but one decent cup result doesn't fix or define the season. So, well, I think if they can follow this up with maybe a couple of wins in the league, then maybe we can start talking about a turnaround possibly. But right now, I still think there's plenty of work to do.
Well, Archie mentioned that one win doesn't define a season, but maybe 11 games unbeaten do. Hibs were 1-0 winners against Ayr. Mac, how can you describe this turnaround under David Gray?
One of the things I can't describe, one of the few things I can describe, finally, but this was kind of hyped up as tie the round, Ayr and Hibs. Never quite lived up to its billing, but that tends to happen. Usually it was Ayr who had a flying form, Hibs had a flying form. It would have been interesting to see this in one of the earlier rounds of the League Cup, or the Premier Sports Cup as it's called, because I thought Ayr never got off to the best start and neither did Hibs, so it would be a completely different game, maybe more goals. But Ayr might feel a bit hard done by because they gave it their all. I think there was probably just too much attention given to Scott Brown and Stephen Whittaker against a former club and not enough to the actual game. But it wasn't a pretty game of football, but it was in that context it was good to watch because you never know who was going to win. And I think every neutral I've seen the last minute winner, don't they?
No, and you're absolutely right. A lot of attention is given to the kind of Stephen Whittaker and Brown duo. And I mean, I think that's just the way the media bubble works, is just trying to squeeze every drop of narrative out of a tie as possible. But I am going to be no better than the rest of them and ask, Mac, do you think with that game and the season in general, he's done his kind of management chances in the Premiership no harm, Brown.
No, not at all. I think he obviously is linked with a Motherwell job, but isn't he? I think he's categorically came out and ruled himself out of that. But then that's the second job off the top of my head he's been linked with. I think he was linked with St Johnstone earlier. But you wonder why maybe Scott Brown's got a bit of credit from his playing career, Scotland captain, Celtic captain, one of Celtic's most decorated players. But you wonder why the same opportunities don't get gifted to like the likes of David Martindale for talking sake, or I know he gets linked to a lot as well, but I'm not too sure Scott Brown is quite, maybe he might prove me wrong, but I think he's quite ready for that step into the Premiership just yet. Maybe in a year or two he'll be more than ready, but I think he's got a big and long manager career ahead of him.
Actually, do you agree with that sentiment that maybe, he's had a time at Fleetwood that I think maybe he was hard done by that, and things are going quite well, not extraordinarily. He's making a push for that kind of promotion place. Does he need to spend more time kind of cutting his teeth before making that jump?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, there's a big difference between the leagues ultimately. I think, maybe the quality as the games have gone on this season, I've felt maybe that that gap has maybe felt a bit tighter than maybe it was. I think, there's no disservice, no discredit to him, but oh.
It seems we've lost you for a second there. But listen, it's a moot point, but we'll move on. Now, three of the bottom sides of the championship went into this fifth round, and three sides bottomed out. Hamilton Academical went down 1-0 losers to St Johnstone. Mac, I mean, this is not really one for the ages, is it?
No, it's not one I would tell the grandkids about for sure, but it goes back to the point I was making of Vakari. Has he compromised his principles? Probably. It's four wins in a row for St Johnstone, which, and there was a stage of the season they couldn't buy a win. So it's just a simple case of it doesn't matter how you win, it's just how you win. And that is what cup football summed up. There was a bit, I don't know if you've seen, there was a protest for the Hamilton fans about John Rankin. Maybe he's served his time, but there's not much to say about this game. Let's be honest. I can't dress it up any other way.
Well, less said about this game, the better, maybe. But actually, that you touched on an important topic there, and that's the situation with Hamilton Accies. Do you have a particular take on what's going on there at the moment?
It's just I don't know if we can pin all the issues on John Rankin. Hamilton were famously a team who overachieved. They were. Some fans would say they overstayed their welcome in the Scottish Premiership. It was just they've got a lack of resources. They famously had a very good youth academy, gave us James McCarthy in the same sort of time frame. But it's just I think it's just mismanagement from the board up. They fell down two divisions very quickly after that long stay in the Premiership. I don't know if you can pin it on the manager, but I'm gonna let the fans have their opinion because they watch Hamilton more than me, and they'll be able to give you a better account of dealings there than I will.
Well, that's a kind of perfect segue for me to say, well, if Hamilton fans are listening and would like to kind of tell us what they think, we'd love to hear. But for St. Johnstone, I mean, Adama Sidibe not had the easiest last few weeks. But actually, how important is it that he and the kind of new signings start to gel to really make a push out of that bottom place, really fire and kind of, I would say, back to safety because it's been a tumultuous few months for them.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're showing signs of improvement 100%. I think this win adds to the recent run of good form, definitely. And again, it just comes back to building on it. They'll start to get their season back on track possibly, but it's been a rough last couple of seasons for St Johnstone, but they've got, that kind of experience in the squad to turn things around. Maybe not so much the quality. You hope that they're building on that quality, but certainly the experience of being in situations like this before that, hopefully they can see out a better rise in the league. But I think they need to keep the momentum going 100%. If they can stay solid defensively, keep grinding out every result that comes their way. I think we'll see them climb up the table, but yeah, things aren't of course going smoothly, but once again, this kind of game really helps to bolster teams at this kind of halfway point of the season.
Well, there was another smooth afternoon for our championship side, and that was Livingston, who were 3-0 winners against Cove Rangers. Ryan McGowan and Etete Yenge double sent them on their way. And now in the last eight of the Scottish Cup and in a Challenge Cup final coming up against, well, you guessed it, Queen's Park. You mentioned Mac, David Martindale. Has he been getting his fair share of recognition for the work he's put in this season?
No, I don't think it is at all. I think it's time to give him his flowers. He's Livingston were a team when they get relegated. I thought this is the end of Livingston. David Martindale famously likes to tell us how little finances he has there, but signings like Ryan McGowan is just brilliant pieces of business. It's experienced heads, and that's what gets you promotion. That's what gets you through these cup ties. They're a team that's really surprised me, and David Martindale deserves all the credit that I can give him. So. Well done, Dave Mandel.
No, fair play, because we're never short of praise for David Martindale on this podcast. We are very big fans. Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't have particularly much to say on Cove Rangers, and maybe that's my bad. I was at their ground on Wednesday night to watch the Aberdeen women play Partick Thistle. So hopefully, I can make up for that someday, even giving them maybe an entire hour to themselves. But we'll see how that goes. So we'll move on to the final round of the tie, and that's happening to, well, I mean, when this goes out, let's just say it's happening, and that is St Mirren against Hearts. Actually, it's quite an odd one. It's happening at the Smisa. Who do you fancy for that one?
Yeah, I think I went into this firstly saying that if I'm sticking my neck out for it, that I'd say Hearts just because they've been in great form already. But I think St Mirren have proved that they can take on, some of the better teams in the league at home. So maybe you wouldn't be surprised if this one goes the distance, maybe extra time, maybe penalties. But Hearts really are just flying now. They've been strong in the league, attacking players really linking up quite well. They've got that bit of quality. They can make the difference. Lawrence Shankland, key man, if he's on it. Hearts have a great chance of getting through, but I think it could be a really good game. You'd hope so if they picked it for the last spot to knock out this round of the cups. But yeah, I think St Mirren are going to make it a bit difficult. Maybe not a fortress, but maybe just a really good castle or something.
That's an apt metaphor. Mystic Mac, what can we expect from you?
I like how you've dressed me up as a mystic there. I feel
It's
compelled to say
it's
this.
never going away.
This isn't a prediction, this is a spoiler. Hearts are going to go through. No, like Archie says, I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it'll go beyond the 90 minutes, but for some reason, I fancy Hearts. I don't know what that is. You don't know what form Hearts are going to be in. Same as St Mirren as well, but I feel as if Hearts are finally starting to click. They're on the precipice of that top six. I feel as if St Mirren aren't in the same sort of run of form as them, so it'll be tight, but I think Hearts are just gonna edge it.
Now that leaves one of them to join Celtic, Queen's Park, Hibs, Dundee, Aberdeen, Livingston, and St Johnstone in the next round. And so I'm going to ask you, and obviously the first choice seems obvious, so I'm going to remove Celtic from the equation. But who is the team you wouldn't want to face in the next round? Let's start with you, Mac.
I think I'll go for Hibs. I think they showed a bit of resolve in the win against Ayr. And out of the teams you've just mentioned, they're probably the most frightening and on-form team besides Celtic. So I think it's going to be David Grace Hibs. I wouldn't want to face them, especially not Easter Road.
He seems to have that magic touch in the Scottish Cup. Archie, what about you?
Well, I mean, if I really want to stick out my neck here and assume that they get through, you could even say Hearts. I've talked about Shankland already. They're putting it to really good use. They're putting him to really good use, I think. Outside maybe Celtic this season, they've got the experience. Like I've said, they can grind out those results. I think Hibs is definitely a fair option, and if Hearts don't get through, that is probably who I'd go with. But I think if you're a lower ranked team, you probably don't want either of those two sides, but you know, Hibs can be a bit inconsistent. There's always the chance of catching them cold. So Hearts, on the other hand, maybe feel that they've got that bit of reliability right now, like if they were to get through. But if I'm the manager in that draw, I'm hoping to avoid a trip to Tynecastle. I've seen pictures, I've seen videos, I've seen all the little clips. It just looks like an absolutely horrid place to play. But yeah, I think we're in for a really good next round of the cup, regardless of what the draw ends up being.
That's a very strong answer. Now, on the flip side of that, Archie, which team would you love to face? I mean, I know the answer is going to be, you know, in a way disrespectful to some fans, but who would you like to see drawn out of the pot?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I didn't watch every single game for this game week, but I think, you know, if you're looking at the teams that are left in it, I think you say you're looking at Livingston, maybe you are looking at Queen's Park, very possibly, but, you know, still, like I've said, I don't think you can undermine any team in this part of the competition anymore. You know, these sides are really going to be just like throwing everything that they've got at it to try and, you know, make a name for themselves and get through to the last four. But yeah, I think it's a really difficult choice. But of course, you know, it's easy to say, like a Livingston to face them. You'd hope that whatever side you've got, you're getting a few goals against them. But, you know, it's the magic of the cup, isn't it? And you want to see that continue for as long as it can go. So, you know, get the heavyweights out of there and see who you're left with. But yeah, I'd go with a Livingston or a Queen's Park, definitely.
Absolutely understandable. Mac, for yourself?
I'll be cheeky. I'll say Queen's Park as well. I don't want to undermine their achievement. I think we're going to have enough time to speak about that for years and years to come. But I think ordinarily, Queen's Park at home would be a very easy tie, but it's they've proven it, how good they can be. So, but I'm just gonna say Queen's Park. That's the team. I think you're looking at that. I think even I'm saying it from a Celtic perspective. I think Hibs are a Dundee fan, they're an Aberdeen fan for talking sake. They'd probably want Queen's Park as well. They're probably the lowest ranked team in the competition. So, the safe bet is to say them. But who's to say? Who's to say they can't go there?
No, who is to say? And they've been underdogs before, and they will surely be underdogs again. Now, for a quick fire answer, Mac, imagine yourself as a pay-per-view customer. What would you say is the matchup of the round that would give you the best value for money?
Hearts versus Hibs at Tynecastle.
Archie?
Yeah, I'd probably say the same, to be honest. Quick fire, 100%, yeah.
Well, it's difficult to disagree with the all-seeing Mac. Well, that wraps up everything for today. I've been your host, Finley, joined by Archie and Mac for another episode of Scottish Football Covered. I mean, I think we're expecting Stefan back, but in the meantime, we wish him all the best. And thank you for joining us, and hopefully Monday night's draw draws up something spectacular for us. So stay tuned, and thank you very much for joining us. Good night.